So happy Thanksgiving. In 1578, Martin Frobisher was the first European to celebrate Thanksgiving in Canada in what is now known as Iqaluit. And he celebrated that Thanksgiving in the context of an Anglican service of Eucharist. Today, we celebrate Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving. And this weekend, we celebrate Thanksgiving according to an Act of Parliament, which was passed in 1957, that on the second Monday of October, there should be a National Day of Thanksgiving. But we see from today's texts that Harvest Thanksgiving is not a modern concept. Moses told the people that God was bringing them into a land abundant with everything that they would need. Wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive trees, honey, and bread without scarcity. After 40 years of wandering the wilderness, consuming rations of quail and manna, which, no matter how tasty, must have gotten a little bit boring, they were going to find themselves in the midst of abundance, both in quantity and variety. And Moses wanted the people to think a little bit about how they would respond to the largesse that would soon be theirs. It makes me question, how do we respond when we are given something? Do we take it for granted? Do we think that we deserve it? Do we say thank you? Our gospel text for today is the familiar story of the 10 lepers, people who had a horrible, disfiguring, and contagious disease that were shunned by society. They shouted to Jesus from afar, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And instead of going out of his way to avoid them, like most people would have, Jesus responded to them and indeed had mercy on them. He sent them to the priest, who in those days was the one who was authorized to verify that they were, in fact, clean and safe to return to normal society. On the way to the priest, by the way, I'm very glad that's not my job. On the way to the priest, before they had even gotten there, they realized that they had, in fact, been healed. And they were, I am quite sure, overjoyed. And one returned to Jesus, praising God and giving thanks. Jesus asks the obvious question, weren't all 10 healed? What happened to the other nine? It would be easy for us to make judgments like they were just a bunch of total ingrates. I'm sure that each one of them, realizing that they were healed, was profoundly grateful. But it seems as though maybe they were too happy to get about the business of normal life to bother returning to Jesus. In the same way, I'm sure that we are all happy for the various blessings in our lives. But how often do we stop and actually return thanks where thanks are due to God? Everything that we have is a gift from God, but do we take the time to cultivate that awareness? The 10th leper received healing and returned to give thanks, and in returning, received another gift, an affirmation of his faith. He received more in relationship with Jesus than the others could have dreamed of. The other nine got what they wanted from Jesus and went on their merry way. And they gave us a picture of just how easy it is to forget to express our thanks. Moses knew human nature, and he knew that the Israelites, once they found themselves in that land flowing with milk and honey, that land filled with abundance, might well forget that it was God who had gotten them there. It was God who had provided them with such a good life. He suspected that at some point they would look around, take stock of everything that they had accumulated, and instead of offering praise and thanksgiving to God, they would, as the text says, exalt themselves and say to themselves, "My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth." They would express their pride in having gotten so far, in having built for themselves such a good life. In the same way, I think today it is sometimes easy to say, "I worked hard for what I have. I deserve it." And forget that even our capacities to work and to earn are a gift from God. This weekend, many of us will indulge in a traditional Thanksgiving dinner, turkey and all the trimmings. We may even begin our festive meal with saying grace, giving thanks to God for the bounty of the day. In the Jewish tradition, there are six different blessings that are used before consuming different kinds of food and drink. In the Orthodox Jewish tradition, nothing goes in your mouth without acknowledging that it is by God's gift that we have that food or drink. It is an explicit recognition that all is gift. And because it's a ritual that permeates Orthodox Jewish life, you know, before your tea in the morning, before your toast, before your mid-morning snack, before your lunch, before your mid-afternoon snack, before the glass of water that you drink at 4 o'clock because you're thirsty, before you get the drift. Because it is pervasive, it cultivates that awareness that all is gift from God. To say thank you is considered polite in our society, and parents spend a lot of energy trying to teach their children to say thank you. Sometimes they remind their children to say thank you when they have received a gift that they know that the child hates. But it's the polite thing to do. Not that that ever happened to me, of course. That's not the kind of thanksgiving that our text encourages. True thanksgiving, gratitude, is a response to the many blessings that God has given. God's goodness overwhelms us, and our hearts overflow with a response of thanksgiving. But gratitude is not only appropriate in view of God's many blessings. Did you know that gratitude is also good for your mental health? Studies show that expressing gratitude decreases stress and anxiety, and even envy. And it increases our feelings of happiness. People who practice gratitude are more resilient in the face of life's ups and downs, and they are less likely to experience burnout or depression. They also, we are told, experience less fatigue, have better sleep, and altogether better physical well-being. It's no wonder that these days gratitude journaling has become a thing. Not only is gratitude appropriate, it's good for you. In the autumn, many congregations have stewardship campaigns, and today's texts remind us that gratitude is the foundation of the stewardship in our lives, the ways in which we use the time, talents, and treasures that God has given us. The diocese shares stewardship resources with parishes, and this year's theme is rooted in abundance. And you're going to find that on all the slides for the next 6 weeks as we engage in our stewardship campaign. Next week, stewardship packets are going to be handed out to everybody. When we look at our Old Testament text, we can see a picture of God's abundance. Wheat and barley, vine and fig trees, pomegranates and honey, and bread without scarcity, the good life. a life rich in reasons for thanksgiving. But God's abundant blessing in our lives is not just so that we can enjoy the good life. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he says that God's abundance is so that we can share. And he also presents us with a couple of principles that we can apply to our stewardship. Firstly, Paul says that every person should give what they have decided to give. Unlike the Jewish tradition, which emphasized the tithe, Paul tells us that we have the freedom to choose our response to God's material goodness in our lives. Each of you must give as you have made up your own mind, expresses a freedom not found in the Jewish tradition, but also reminds us that we should give some thought into what we are going to give. And then we should follow through on that commitment. That's where pledge cards and pledge campaigns can be helpful. They encourage us to prayerfully think about what our financial stewardship will be, to make a commitment. They're also helpful in terms of the parish council and wardens preparing the budget for the next year, if we have a sense of what the offerings are likely to be. But even if you never fill out a pledge card, I'm hoping that's a minority of people, Paul's words still encourage us to give some thought to what we are going to give. Don't just willy-nilly root through your purse and find out what change has fallen to the bottom of it. Or check in your wallet and see if you have, well, I guess these days you don't have any dollars in your wallet. You have $5 bills in your wallet. Did you know that I noticed that in one of my parishes that the offerings went up as soon as the government got rid of $1 bills because everyone felt embarrassed to put change in the offering plate. And so all of a sudden everyone was giving $5 bills instead. Thank you, government. We are encouraged to think about what we are going to give and to think about it as a response to what God has given us. Paul also emphasizes the freedom of our gift, that it is not to be done under compulsion, but should be given with a joyful and grateful heart. God loves a cheerful giver, we are told. The funds that Paul was soliciting from the Corinthians were to address a specific need in the Christian community, but they were also an occasion, an opportunity to render thanks to God in a practical and tangible way. But Paul also roots our giving in the spiritual gifts that God has given us. He talks of the indescribable gift that we have received in Christ Jesus, a new life rooted in God's forgiveness, grace, and abundant, never-failing love for us. God has given us what is necessary for body, mind, soul, and spirit. Blessings are not just the tangible things that we can hold. And the sharing that we are called to is not just about things. Stewardship is about time, talents, and treasures. Or as this year's stewardship campaign is going to put it, wisdom, works, and wealth. I'm not sure if that message is as clear as time, talents, and treasures. Jesus said, "I have come that people would have life and have it abundantly, to the full, beyond measure." And in response for the life that God has given us, we say, thanks be to God. Amen.